Ready to launch your business? Get started with the commerce platform made for entrepreneurs. Shopify is specially designed to help you start, run, and grow your business with easy customizable themes that let you build your brand. Marketing tools that get your products out there, and that's just the beginning. From startups to scale-ups, online, in person, and on the go. Shopify is made for entrepreneurs like you. Shopify, your all-in-one commerce platform.
Sign up for your $1 a month trial at shopify.com.au/listen.
You're listening to SBS News.
The eggplant strips are sizzling in oil at Li Ho Fook, a modern Chinese restaurant in Melbourne. Chef founder Victor Leong is proud to showcase his signature dish.
My version, I deep fry the eggplant so it's crunchy, so it adds another layer of texture and easy to approach in terms of, you know, either with your fingers or with chopsticks.
Victor Leong's among younger Chinese chefs forging change while featuring local produce and new cooking styles.
Our first reference point is to look at a dish and its authenticity, and then kind of deconstruct or work backwards from that, right? A good example is Peking duck. How do we get maximum crispiness and puff and flavor from the skin process, but still maintaining some of the integrity of like a juicy, flavorful meat?
Mr. Leong migrated from Brunei aged 6 with his family and later trained as a European-style chef, but he's since embraced his Eastern heritage through food.
A lot of it is my flavor memory and my exploration on the heritage personal journey in terms of, you know, looking at the food that I grew up eating, the many dinner tables of my childhood. But also, I travel to China a lot.
Blending European traditions with Asian flavors has evolved from the early dishes cooked by Chinese migrants who fed hungry workers on the goldfields. University of Sydney historian Sophie Loy-Wilson specialises in the history of Chinese-Australian communities.
Cantonese food is very focused on vegetables. We know that very early on when Chinese miners came back from Hong Kong, they were looking for fresh veggies. So they were some of the first to start growing a garden at the back of their tent, at the back of their mine. And they would sell this to kind of malnourished Europeans who've been living on mutton and damper.
As waves of migration continued, she says Australian Chinese cuisine evolved catering to local tastes and produce.
Chinese chefs developed really clever ways of taking cheaper meat and keeping it moist and succulent and fresh. And I think sizzling beef is an example of that, right? Like this is like the Australian barbecue, but it's on a little plate.
Third-generation restaurant owner Gavin Chan runs Happy's Chinese in Canberra, a family business that started in 1962. In the early days, he says the menu adapted to local supplies.
In the 60s and 70s, I remember my grandfather telling us that you could not get a lot of ingredients. So you couldn't get Chinese broccoli to Canberra. Back in those days, there was no Asian grocery stores. You couldn't get fresh rice noodles. You had to use the dried ones. You had to make do with what you had, what the ingredients you had, and put a spin on the version that you could cook for your particular clients.
Many traditional Chinese restaurants have shut down in recent years. New data from credit reporting agency Creditor Watch shows that across the country, cost and demand pressures are bearing down on cafes and restaurants, with 1 in 8 closing their doors to the end of May this year. Happy's Chinese is among the oldest Chinese restaurants still trading. Gavin Chan says demand remains strong for family favourites like honey chicken and Mongolian beef.
My grandfather Happy, if he walked in here today, he'd be really proud of what we've preserved. He did it as a way of survival, employment, and in doing so, he brought the culture, brought the different types of cuisine to the Australian palate.
Mr. Chan says generations of customers grew up sharing meals around a table.
What Chinese food brings, in my belief, is memories, how people celebrated birthdays, anniversaries, date nights. It was very much ingrained in the Australian culture. To this day, I still get people that come down and say, I had my first Chinese meal here in this location. And then they bring their kids, they bring their grandkids. And that's probably the most valuable part of my business, just having that connection with the customers.
Even so, Mr. Chan says running a restaurant in this economy isn't easy.
Happy's probably would have been closed by now if I didn't come back and take over it. Look, it's really hard work, really, really hard work. And in the hospitality business, it's a high-pressure environment. a lot of physical labour. You feel how much your parents and the generations before you actually put in to establish the business and how hard it would have been for them, even compared to what we have to go through now.
Academic Sophie Lloyd-Wilson says as more people travel and sample international cuisines, food trends are changing.
People are looking for something really different. The food that is kind of more upmarket, more experimental, more unique, you know, combining, you know, European techniques with Asian techniques. I do think that it's the future.
It's a view shared by Chef Victor Leong, who's proud to champion a new wave of Australian Chinese food.
The way we ate 20 years ago is different to the way we eat now, and it's still moving. We're not bound by traditions. That drives, you know, a sense of creativity, a sense of like a hopeful future, a sense of like, you know, constantly adding to the colour of our society, which I think is exciting.
Alan Lee, SBS News.
Nord Haider here, one of the hosts of The Guardian's daily news podcast, Full Story. Every weekday, we go beyond the headlines, taking you closer to The Guardian's journalism. Listen to Full Story wherever you get your podcasts.